Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here, Scott.
Yes.
Well, you got our fork? Boy, that music just cut off abruptly. It got quiet.
I love the flute, especially in that. Yes.
So do you have a fork?
No.
Why not? We can stick a fork in it, man. It's done.
It's done.
It's done. The year is done. 2018, nearly in the books. Only a few more days.
And 19 is going to start off the same way.
It's what it appears. So, folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show today, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. Oh, I got a fork. It's a plastic fork, but it shall work. Yeah. Looky there. We could stick a fork in it.
Let me go ahead and stick it in you.
No, don't stick it in me. No, that's just mean. That's rude. That's rude. Put the fork up. Making me hungry. So, folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. If you'd like to find us during the week, it's very simple at 1-800. Oh, excuse me. That's the phone number, isn't it? You can find us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail locations across the great state of South Carolina, as well as our business hours, email addresses, because those are important, right? Because if you have questions, you have comments, you have concerns in the landscape, you just want to send Scott a nice little message and say, hey, Scott, I really like you, appreciate you, whatever, you can find all the store email addresses there, right?
You can.
So, Scott?
That'd be a nice email. I'd like that email.
Would you?
Yes.
Wow. It'd be nice to get a nice email.
Yes, it would.
So, folks, it is done. Are you stir crazy yet?
I'm past that.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Another 4-day weekend, right? It's like we had 3 Thanksgivings this year. You didn't think about that, did you?
No, I.
4-day weekend.
I started thinking about that in July.
3-4. Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, I get some 4-day weekends.
Exactly.
You get halfway through them, you're like, man, when can I go back to work? Oh. Folks, it is a live call-in show, and without you, the participant, the show becomes quite boring. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. The phone lines are open, and you can always text us at 71307. So, Scott, I think it ought to be a show about wrapping up 2018 and talking about all the big things that happened within the lawn and landscape. What do you say?
I say yes.
You say yes? Would that work?
Would
that work? So if you have questions or comments in relationship to that, maybe you could keep us on track today. If not, we'll just ramble on, because after all, it's the last show that the Yard Pros, it's the last one you can, it's your last opportunity to participate in the year 2018 with the Yard Pros. It cost you nothing other than time, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, I think back to that economics class in high school. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, this is something that's free, because I'm sure all of you have the free calling plans on your wireless telephones. Is there anything such as paying by the minute anymore? Remember those days? It's like you got like 30 minutes free a month, or 30 minutes for a quarter a minute, and if you went over that, it was $1.38 a minute or something. Crazy stuff like that. Remember that?
Wonder how much money they made off us.
Oh, tons. Tons. I didn't think I would ever see the day where they'd go to an unlimited plan.
Unlimited.
Unlimited plan.
And everybody was running to the cell phone stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa.
I want upgrade.
Yeah, I want that unlimited. I was sitting there thinking, man, that was a poor marketing plan. You know, how much money did y'all just give away?
Went from $25 phone to $150.
Well, that's where they get you. Well, they got you at a bigger, but here's where they get you now, is on the phone itself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
$1,000 to $1,500.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? Whatever happened to the, hey, if you renew your contract, give me $200 cash, I'll give you a new phone. Those days are over with. You can't even pay them outright for the phone. Let me bill you over every month. Like, what? Really? And how much is that phone? $1,000 for a cell phone. It's crazy, isn't it?
And I always sat and thought, remember the Jitterbug phone?
Yeah.
They actually came out, and I've always said, as soon as they come out with the Jitterbug smartphone, by the time I would, my age, I would need one. Sure enough, they came out with one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about time for you to get it too, right?
It's right around the corner.
So, folks, phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. You know, Scott, it's that time to talk about this week.
I thought you were going to bring out the draft report.
It's coming.
There's no reason.
It's my last opportunity. No, we got to bring it out because, you know, that's become a weekly thing. Give you an update. So how about that drum roll? We'll give it to you. What's going on? Here you go, folks. Our weekly drought report as reported.
Oh, it's all blue now.
December the 25th, Christmas Day, as reported. Looky here. Yeah, no, it's not all blue. It's still a coloring page. Zero drought in the great state of South Carolina. That is lovely to see. You know, this time, 1 year ago, this week, Scott, 60% of our state was under drought of some form. That is hard to believe. 60% as of a year ago. My, what a difference 12 months can make, right?
Yes.
Unbelievable. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to get the rainfall towards Greenville.
You don't need to do that, son. I actually did some preparation. So, you know, I thought this would be kind of a slow day, right? Mm-hmm. So far it's turned out to be that way. You know, they could call us. Should we give them that number one more time? Just in case they didn't hear it in the first 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it's been in the show. Wow, it's already been like 7 minutes. 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. Phone lines are open. I know it is post-Christmas, but you can still light it up like a Christmas tree. Okay? 71307 is the text line. You making notes over there?
No, because you have the rainfall totals.
Yeah. What? You wanted to know them?
I do.
So before we get into what are our yearly totals, you know, let's think about what has happened in the landscape to kind of summarize 2018. You know, we think back last winter, mm-hmm. beginning in January, pretty cold, think we had some snowfall, things of that nature. February was unseasonably warm, mm-hmm. right? It really was. I mean, I remember there's some days pushing 80, right? And then March rolls back in, more inclement weather, really cold temperatures. We wound up with some winter injury. That's kind of how we kicked off 2018 is, hey, welcome 2018. And by the way, we're going to kill your front lawn. Half your shrubs are not going to come out. So we all struggled through that, thought things were going great. Then the rains hit this summer, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. So if you were trying to grow things back in, like warm season grasses, things of that nature, it became very difficult, right? Keeping the powdery mildew away from the plants that are susceptible to it, like your rose garden, like your crepe myrtles, things of that nature. Man, it was just disease-ridden, cloudy days, hard to grow anything. Poor gardens didn't do anything. You know, I know my tomatoes struggled. And I ate plenty of tomatoes in 2018, but it wasn't my best crop. Yeah, it was just difficult to grow things. Then we get into fall of the year, seasons begin to change. Oh, man, this will be great. We can enjoy a little bit of drier weather because typically October is like our driest month in the state of South Carolina. So you're thinking, oh, it may dry out a little bit. Oh, no, hadn't done that. It's continued to rain. As a matter of fact, man, I'll give you some data here in a minute, but it's pretty amazing just the month of December how much rain we have received. But before we get there.
Look at the size of that font.
Hey, it's big font, man. You can read this.
Jitterbug, I can. Jitterbug paper.
That's right. Looky there. So I did a little bit of research. You know, what is our average? What is the climatological data? What's it tell us for various places in South Carolina, specifically Greenville and Columbia? You know, the upstate, the Midlands, okay? So in Greenville, South Carolina, on average, gets around 50 inches of rain per year, okay? Oddly enough, that is a little bit more than like Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. or Seattle,
correct.
Washington.
Yes, okay? They're in the high 40s, correct.
Yeah, so the difference is we get more sunny days. They have more cloudy days, okay? So we average about 3 inches of snow a year in Greenville. Okay, 2018, just a month of November kind of beat that. Was it or December? When did we have the snowfall? Several weeks ago.
Yeah, first week of December.
Yeah, so we've probably beat that already. There are 220 sunny days per year in Greenville. 220 sunny days. That's on average. I don't know how many sunny days we had this summer. It doesn't seem like we had 220 or this year. Now, what do we have, like two dozen maybe? I mean, just in the last month. I mean, I was driving in today, and I was like, man, what's that big ball of fire in the sky? Hadn't seen it in several days. I say that. You know, yeah, Christmas Day was gorgeous, and the day after Christmas, beautiful sunny days. The U.S. average for sunny days is 205. So we actually average more sunfall or sunlight. The U.S. average for rain per year is 39 inches. We're at 50, okay? Get this. What do you think the U.S. average of snowfall per year is? This kind of shocked me. What's the U.S. average snowfall per city?
I like zero, but...
26 inches.
Really?
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot for us.
No thanks.
Guess it's not so much if you live in Minnesota. You're like, man, wish we could get a 26-inch snowfall in a year.
See, you're giving out way too much information for people to move down here.
Yeah. Summer highs. Greenville?
90s.
In July, it's around 89, a little less than 90. And the January low is 31, average low. Okay? Columbia, you get 45 inches of rain on average per year. So you're a little bit behind Greenville, but not far, right? You only average 1 inch of snow per year. And there are 217 sunny days in the Midlands of South Carolina per year. And the high in July is 92, and the low in January is 31. So there's kind of your base, right? That's what we should get, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, then it got me thinking. You know, Buford, here you go. I've got another little table here. 45 inches of rain a year. Florence, 43 inches. Orangeburg, 47. So you can see we all stick around the upper 40s, low 50s, right? Here's the interest. Caesars Head State Park, 70 inches of rain per year. Amazing the difference the mountains make, right?
Yes.
That's why I said Mount Mitchell, you know, I don't know what their average is.
Right.
We were talking about it earlier and what they have. So here's the interesting thing.
When you have it highlighted.
Yeah. Let's remember, Columbia gets, on average, 50 inches of rain a year, right? Well, last year, what I do know, they received 47.44 inches of rain. This is according to the NOAA, okay? Last year's data, 47.5 inches of rain. Year-to-date, as of December the 28th, okay, 49.14 inches. So they're up 2.5 inches of rain, right? No. They're up 2 inches of rain in reference, according to last year. But they're about 4 inches over, right? Here's the interesting thing. Charleston, they're only up about 3 inches. They averaged, or last year they had 44 inches. This year they've had 47. Here's the good one. You ready for it? Greenville, Greenville, Spartanburg Airport. They're reporting data. Last year received 53 inches, was a wet year for us. So far, year-to-date, 67.36 inches, year-to-date. That's a lot of rain. That is a lot of rain. Now, I don't think this encompassed the rain we received yesterday either, because they hadn't reported that data yet. Because when I looked this up, it was not midnight. So we still got to add that. I mean, just the month of December in Greenville, we're over 2 inches, or excuse me, 10.8 inches of rain. Columbia's like 7 inches, month of December. It has been wet. It has been wet. So the reason I bring this up, Scott, what does it do to our landscape?
Saturated.
Yeah. What happens in a saturated landscape? Any thoughts?
On plants, it'll drown.
Yeah, that's right. On plants, it can become an issue. On lawns, it can become an issue. And I think that's one of the things we should talk about this year. You know, it's the year of wetness. I don't know if that's such a thing. We can make it up. Maybe we should start a horticultural calendar. Instead of the Chinese calendar, you know, where it's animals, we have the year of climate. We can choose things. Makes me wonder, though. It's like I heard somebody say the other day when it was snowing. Look at all that global warming coming down, right? It's wet. You know, it would be interesting to chart the temperatures. I bet the average temperatures this year are a little bit lower, too. Has to be, with the amount of cloud cover that we have.
This is one time I'm glad I do not have a fescue lawn.
Yeah, that's been difficult. And as we kind of go through this morning or today and talk a little bit about some of the dilemmas, problems that we have, it's not just cool season lawns, though. Warm season lawns are going to suffer from it. Landscape shrubbery can suffer from it.
I was there just thinking, people who've got big square footage with riding mowers.
You're not mowing your grass
right now.
That's what
I'm saying. With the fescue lawn, how much, with that saturated soil, are you packing down?
It's absolutely just, it's horrible.
Because I can't even walk in my yard.
You know, the good thing is, temperature-wise, it's a great forecast, it looks like, the 10-day for the first week of 2019. I mean, heck, Columbia is going to be, the Midlands are going to be pushing 70, 71 degrees New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Wow, that's great. But it's going to be raining. It's going to rain again, right?
You're full of good news.
It's like 5 days worth of rain coming in. So enjoy today is what I say. Get outside, do something fun. You know, I'd say work in the lawn, work in the landscape, but you better have your muck boots on. Some old galoshes. Remember the galoshes?
Old galoshes.
Man, I remember as a kid, man. I love my galoshes. Had a little metal buckle on the side. Never could figure out why.
And he still wears them.
Nah, I need a pair, man. I need a pair. My last pair I had finally just dry rotted.
I've never seen you with a pair of duck boots on.
I'd love to have another pair.
Just I'm going to invest on a pair now.
Yeah, maybe we should. Oh, that's what we're doing, folks. If you're listening today, we want everybody to run out, buy a pair of muck boots, duck boots, whatever you want to call them, galoshes. Because if we all buy them and waste our money, it'll never rain again. Isn't that the way it works?
Buy two pair. Then buy two pair.
Whatever you do, do not go wash your car today. Because I know if you wash your car, it's going to rain tomorrow. That's just the way it is. Do not go wash your car today. Just leave it alone. It'll be okay. Right? If you really got that much mud on the windshield, just kind of wipe it off, hose it off, do something. But don't wash it. It's just going to, you know, karma, man. It's going to happen. You go wash your car, and it's going to rain. Right? As a matter of fact, I looked on the way here at the car wash. It's already full of people. Everybody washing their car.
Tomorrow Sunday.
Yeah, that's why it's going to rain. Everybody's washing their car. The rain and snow. I don't know if I can say that word. Is also HE double hockey sticks on my septic tank. Didn't think about that because I don't have a septic
Neither
tank, but
I.
It's true.
Yeah.
Your drain fill is full. Mm-hmm. The soil has reached its fill capacity. It becomes a nuisance in the landscape. I mean, I know for me, I've had to fight the family in the holidays, you know. We already have, like, umpteen cars at the house. Now Emily's home from college, so there's another car. Great, just what we needed, another vehicle in the driveway for 4 weeks during the holidays, right? So it's like this constant, who's got to leave first tomorrow?
Well, in your yard, they should just back in the front yard and then pull out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they think, you know.
No, they do not do that.
Oh, no, they don't intentionally do it, but... Heaven forbid, I think I may be the only one in the household who can back down a straight drive. I mean, my driveway, you've seen it. It's long, it's straight, it's flat. It is a flat, straight driveway. How in the world can you not back down a straight driveway? I don't get it. But, you know, instead they'd rather back off. So you know what the edges of the driveway look like. And I'm sure I'm not the only one with this issue.
You got little ravines in there now?
Yeah, and the driveway, I mean, Scott, I tell you, You step out of the vehicle, and you have to be careful and make sure that you're dead center of the driveway so you have enough concrete on either side to stay on the concrete. Because if you step off on either side of the drive, you got muddy feet. I mean, that's all I have done all winter is scream at everybody in the family, please don't walk on the grass. Stay out of the yard. Okay? You're either going to track mud into the house or you're going to vice versa. You're going to track mud into the car. One of the two. But here's the other issue. Now we're getting to a situation, if it spits, it floods. So the amount of mud on my driveway is just unbelievable. It's like this silt. And I thought, well, maybe it's just me. Well, no, I got up Christmas Eve morning, and being a good neighbor, and I do this quite often, I went to the neighbor's yard. I had my blower out cleaning up the yard. You know, family coming over Christmas Day, wanted to clean up the yard. So I had to find some hunting boots so my feet wouldn't get wet, and I knew they were going to get muddy. Go clean up the yard, blow the leaves off. Oh, I'll go blow off the neighbor's drive and their front walkway and their front stoop and get all the leaves off of their stuff so they don't track it in their house. Lo and behold, it's mud all over his drive. It's like if you start really looking at all the concrete around, no matter where you live, it's just like this nasty haze of silt mud. There's going to be a lot of pressure washing going on this spring.
You know what you sounded like just a little while ago? When you
talk
about your kids, don't walk through the yard and bring mud.
What's
I could see your dad telling you this exact same thing.
Mm. Nah, I was the one, believe it or not.
Yeah, right.
I was the one, Dad, don't walk across the yard. Right? Stay out of the front yard. What do you mean? You're 12. Why do you care? I'm trying to grow pretty grass. That's what I care. I've always enjoyed it.
12 years old.
It's serious, man. I always enjoyed it. That's why I'm in the profession I'm in. At least I love my job, right?
That is true.
There's a lot to be said for that. So I need to cut down a Leland cypress tree. Oh, by the way, this is a text, not me. Okay? I need to cut down a Leland cypress tree because several fell during the last snowstorm. What should I plant to create a privacy fence? Tim in Greenville. You know what's interesting? I was talking with our good buddy Scott Carlson with Snyder Tree Care, and he and I were talking about this. And to answer this very quickly, and we can talk about it a little bit when we come back, is we didn't see the cryptomerias fall during the ice storm.
Sapphires.
They didn't really have a whole lot of issues. So the Lelands, just, I think it was a root system issue in saturated soils, whereas the cryptomeria seems to have a little bit denser, better root system, and it's a prettier tree, so you may want to go down that road. Folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show, the final show of 2018. We'd love to hear from you during the break, 1-800-347-1063, and as always, you can text us at 71307. We have to take that bottom of the hour break, but stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And Scott, it's a delight to be here. I've been on my wet weather rant. That sounded good, didn't it? I have been on my wet weather rant here for the first half of the show. I would love to get on a sunny rant. I don't think the sun's out right now, you know? Hey, we're wrapping up 2018. We're talking about some of the problems that potentially the amount of rain that we've had has brought to our gardens or will bring. We're talking a little bit about 2018. And, you know, the big story for 2018, if you're into gardening and landscaping, is rain. That's the big story. You know, if you're a golf course superintendent, that was the big story. Heaven forbid be someone who was a golf course superintendent who was trying to grow in a golf course. Man, there were some nightmarish issues of trying to grow in and rebuild golf courses this summer. I know. We're a part of that from time to time. And this year we had a huge role, had a lot of work. And it just created some havoc. Did it not, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really created havoc. Folks, we're going to go to the phone lines. Bill has found us at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. Phone lines are open, and as always, you can text us at 71307. Scott, let's go talk to Bill in Pelzer. He's been waiting patiently since the bottom of the hour break. Hello, Bill, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Morning, fellas. How are y'all?
We're great.
Well, first, I got to tell you a funny story. There's an upset fella hanging on your gate at your Dunkin' store because I had my plan to go there, pet the cat, get some stuff, and didn't think it through about the holidays, but there's a fella trying to convince somebody to open up, and they're not there.
But we apologize for that.
Happy.
We apologize, but, we had originally planned on the opening today, but unfortunately, with the amount of rainfall, we're like, it's a holiday weekend. Let's allow the staff take a day off and enjoy a even longer holiday weekend. So they get a true four-day weekend. So hopefully,
amen.
Hopefully that gentleman's listening, and maybe he'll understand that you know, hey, we're human and we have families as well. So
absolutely. But to my question, I've been following your program. I've got tall fescue. I'm actually pushed back a little bit for my next round with fertilizer with iron because all the rain. So I was going to do it after this upcoming rain. That's why I was heading up there this morning. But with that being said, I wanted to go ahead and put down some lime, or and I know I'm going to mess up this title, is Verde. I've used it before, and it with good results. And I was just wondering what you thought about that.
I think it's a great time to do that. I mean, as long as you can get the lawn dry enough not to rut it up with the spreader. I mean, we know how that goes right now, Bill. But winter is a great time to not only adjust the pH of the soil, but to actually take soil tests. Now, I will tell you, taking soil tests now with extremely saturated soils, we could still send them off. We can get them tested. It's just going to take longer because they have to enclave and dry the soil in order to grind it to actually do the test. So it does delay the testing a little bit. So if you are going to bring a soil sample in, I would suggest that maybe you leave it lying out somewhere for, you know, 2 or 3 days after you take the sample and allow it to dry before you bring the sample to us, because it will expedite soil testing a bit. But winter's a great time to apply lime. There's no doubt about it. So if you've had a soil test, you know what you need to apply, go ahead and get it done.
Well, I did do that this past fall, and I followed it recommendations, but I was thinking I'd just go ahead, because that red dirt seems to love the lime anyway.
Yes.
That's why I was going to just do it without even doing a soil sample. But again, you know, should I do the lime itself or the, I can't think of the word, it's Verde, the
Verde lawn.
Verde lawn.
I'm real keen on the Verde lawn, and there's two reasons. Number one, the bang for your buck, I know it's more expensive per bag, but when you break it down and you know what's in the bag, I mean, what we're buying is calcium. So if you buy a conventional bag of lime, let's say for probably, what, $8, $9 a bag now, probably at least $7, I would say, for a conventional bag. The Verde lawn, Scott, how much does it sell for?
$22.50.
Buying one bag of the Vertilawn is, in essence, buying 4 or 5 bags of conventional limestone because there's more calcium. What we're buying when we buy products, you know, it's just like buying a bag of fertilizer. Typically, we're buying nitrogen. We're buying units of nitrogen. So the higher the concentration of nitrogen, yeah, the more expensive the fertilizer, but typically the unit cost goes down. It's the same thing with the Vertilawn. Your unit cost on the calcium, which is what we're after, is going to be a little bit cheaper overall in the Verde lawn, even though it's more expensive per bag. And it's less bulk for you to apply. The other reason, that product works and reacts much quicker in the soil profile to adjust the pH quicker. Conventional lime can take 6 or 8 months to break down to really adjust the pH, whereas the Verde lawn is going to do it in about 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks at tops. So we're going to work quicker, and you're getting more bang for your buck. So I would go with the Verde lawn if it were me.
You know, even through all this rain, I did get my last application down, and I mean, my tall fescue is beautiful right now. I mean, pretty much the rain and the fertilizer did that, but I just figured everybody else got yellow. I'm gonna try to keep it pretty all the way through until the sun comes back.
Hey, count yourself lucky, because my lawn is fescue bluegrass, and it's about half mud.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I've got good color on mine, I must say, but it's not as dense as I would like to see it typically this time of year. And, you know, I think a lot of people in that same situation, the density's just not there because the massive amount of rain, wet days, cloudy cover, especially back in the fall. You know, I actually had a little bit of late season Rhizoctonia brown patch run through my lawn and check some grass out. Is part of my problem. So kind of got caught with my britches down. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. I'm thankful that 2019's almost here, and I can't wait to put 18 in the books. So maybe this year will be a little bit easier to grow something.
Well, thank you for your help.
Well, Bill, we appreciate it. You have a happy new year.
You as well.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. You know, Scott, great call, because that's one thing I didn't put on the list and we really haven't talked about much this winter. Winter is actually a great time to get out there, because we always talk about winter being a time to make plans. Make plans. Think about what you want out of your lawn, out of your landscape come spring, summer, and fall when we're typically outside more. And winter's a good time to make those plans because we've got tree plantings we can do, shrub plantings we can do. But we've got to think about, too, the things like adjusting pH in lawns. Soil samples are free. Folks, I can't say it enough. Free. I love to say that word, free.
At Carolina Fresh Farms.
So bring us your soil sample. You know, we talked about that last week, had a caller and said, hey, you need to sample the front, you need to sample the back, you may want to sample the sides. You have to look at your landscape and think about microclimates, little rooms within the landscape. If the front lawn is real sunny but the backyard is shady, I can guarantee you that the soil pH and the soil profile is going to be different between those two lawns. So one sample is not going to cut it, right? Doesn't mean that we're going to treat normal fertilization, our fertilizer schedule we publish, doesn't mean that we're going to have one for shady lawns and one for sunny lawns, but it does come into you're probably going to have to use more hydrolawn in one area of the lawn versus the other, or vertilawn, you know? Hey, one thing I didn't, that was Bill that just called, right, from Pelzer.
Yes.
One thing I didn't mention about the vertilawn product, it's actually vertilawn hydro. It has a soil wetting agent. All right, soil wetting agents are great, I mean great, as we go into summer because they're going to help moderate the moisture content in the soil. The wetting agent itself does not contain or does not retain the moisture. They help the soils retain more moisture, right? But here's the interesting thing about wetting agents. Wetting agents can also help pull water through the soil profile. So it works both ways. So if you got saturated soils, they can be equally beneficial as using it on dry soils. So applying that this winter as wet as it is, I could see a little bit of benefit, especially in the top 1 to 2 inches of soil profile. And maybe help, when we don't get rain, maybe help dry it out a little bit quicker, perhaps. Am I stretching there or am I telling the truth?
That's right.
It's truthful, right? So think about that. That's another benefit of the Vertilawn Hydro product versus conventional limestone.
It's not fake news.
It's not fake news. No. That's right. Hear a new tagline now. The Yard Pros, not fake information. Not fake news.
Okay, so my question at the bottom of the hour break.
Oh, well, yeah, I was going to.
Got a text?
Yeah, let me get this one text out.
Okay,
because it's kind of comical. Well, that's actually great. Tell Tim if he wants great ice-proof privacy fence to plant some Bradford pears. LOL. That's kind of mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you still buy those? You know, not real sure. What is your opinion of tea olive trees? I love the smell when they flower. Should I keep them around as a short bush or let them grow into a tree? Are they good for fence lines? And that's probably, that may be back. I don't think it was Tim, someone else. That is an outstanding idea. Tea olives, fragrant tea olive is a fantastic tree. Osmanthus, a fantastic tree. You heard what I just said?
Tree.
All right. It is classified as a shrub, but it's an extremely large shrub. Okay. If you plant them and you have kind of a semi to fully sun area, okay, if we plant them in densely shade, they're going to start to thin out a little bit at the bottom. But if we get, you know, a half a day of sunlight in that area and we plant them with plenty of space, they will stay full to the bottom forever. But those things will grow, what, 15 feet, 15, 20 feet
yes.
over time? They'll take a while.
So plant them away from your house.
I say they take a while, but still, Scott, those things grow. Once they get acclimated, they grow pretty fast. I mean, it's no Leland cypress, but they grow pretty fast. Now, they do have a very pungent, sweet smell to them when they go to flower, but that's okay. So, Scott, you had a question. It's not often that the Yard Pros ask the Yard Pros a question. So, Scott, welcome to the show. How can I help you?
First-time caller.
First-time caller. There you go. So, what's your question?
Okay. So, in South... You were just sitting there talking about the rainfall totals average here in the South.
Yeah.
40s to 50s.
Yeah.
But then most of the produce grown in California, in that area, the average rainfall is 18 inches in a desert environment.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, there's no humidity out there. Humidity here for disease issues.
Yeah.
So why is most of the produce...
So they can grown out there?
Mm-hmm.
So because they can tell you, hey, we grow this in a desert. And we can falsely increase the price. That's why it costs more to buy vegetables out of California. No, that's not it. You know why? Disease and insects.
That's why.
Okay. Think about this, and I think we've mentioned this on the show. Where are all the universities that research the really good universities for horticulture.
Oh, from Texas and North Carolina.
That research plant pathology, diseases of plants, whether it's lawns, whether it's plants. Where are they? They're all in the Southeast, right? Now, I'll give you this. You go up to the Northeast. I don't know much about, you know, Midwest and Western schools. Well, Purdue. Purdue's a big ag school, okay? Purdue actually has a good horticulture department. But they don't research necessarily. Purdue, they may, because the Midwest can get pretty humid with some disease during the summer. But if you look at all the legitimate research that comes out, the majority of it, I'd be willing to bet 90% of it is coming from your southern universities, because we have more heat and humidity, therefore we have more disease. We have more pests, like I'm talking eight-legged or insect pest, okay? We have it here. So if you take and you want to go produce something, a greenhouse is always great, but greenhouse is expensive. Yeah. How do you produce the world's allotment of tomatoes in a greenhouse? Now, there are hothouse tomatoes. There are hothouse cucumbers. But you see those at the grocery store. You pay a lot more for them because you're having to pay for that overhead of maintaining the greenhouse. So where can you go find a greenhouse? The desert, right? It's arid. So what that means, though, what they're doing is they're irrigating. Those crops are grown 100% under irrigation. Right?
And we know where from
neighboring states.
From neighboring states, correct, yeah.
Yeah, they don't typically use their own water. A lot of that water's coming out of Nevada and over that way, okay? But if you can manage the water, water management is crucial.
Oh, yes.
In anything you want to grow horticulturally. Water, you know, if I've got sunlight, okay, and I can't always.
Bless you. Bless you again.
They always come in pairs. So there's two things it takes to grow a plant. Water and sunlight, okay? Nutrients, soil naturally is going to have some nutrient. That may not be what you want, but soil is going to have. Naturally, it's going to have some nutrients, right? But the thing I really have to worry about, sunlight and water. I have to learn how to manage sunlight, and I certainly have to learn how to manage my water. So if I'm growing in a desert environment, sunlight becomes less of an issue, because that's one of the things living in South Carolina. Whether you live in the mountains or the Midlands or even down at the coast, we have tree lines, right? That blocks sunlight. You go to a desert, what do you got? I mean, you've been out there with me. What's the tallest tree out there? 12 feet, maybe? If you can find a tree. Normally, it's just shrub bush, right? So, and you get out where they're producing all of this, they're in these wide valleys, so mountain peaks aren't an issue, because that's one of the issues that we've run into. You know, you take a golf course in the mountains. You know, if you're growing stuff in the mountains, let's say a golf course, and you want to sprig Bermuda, right? If you sprig Bermuda in the Midlands of South Carolina, you can get it to grow in the summer. You may not be so successful in the mountains. It's not just because of cooler temperatures. A lot of times it comes back to sunlight, because the mountains are blocking the sunlight, because we have these narrow valleys, more like a holler. You like that word, don't you? Hollers.
From Clinton.
Yep, from Clinton. I'm from Clinton, and we don't have hollers in Clinton, all right? But we do have deep ravines that never see daylight, right? But if you get the further you get up in the mountains, that becomes more of an issue. So when you go out to a desert-type climate, I can control the water, and sunlight becomes less of an issue, because I know that if it's not cloudy, and if you're in an environment that's only getting 18 inches of rain a day, how many sunny days are they getting a year? You know?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Increase those number of sunny days. So, therefore, they can produce more with less inputs.
So, hence why we use black plastic on strawberry patches from Splash?
Yeah. Now, the plastic, there's been a lot of research over the years from universities of what color plastic should I grow X crop on. And it really depends on the crop, because the plastic can reflect light, it can absorb light, it can reflect certain UV spectrums, or maybe it doesn't. So there's been a lot of research as to what color plastic is best. I still see a lot of strawberries in South Carolina grown on black plastic. I think one of the reasons, think about when strawberry transplants go in the ground. Normally it's what, March? they want to go early so that they can hit that crop early before it gets really hot, because once it gets hot, the plant just doesn't produce as well, right? So if you're going early, if I put black plastic out sometime in February, I plow the field, end of February, 1st of March, I lay my plastic down. Let's say the soil temperatures, I look this week, soil temperatures still running in, you know, low 50s across the state, maybe upper 40s in the upstate or towards the mountains. But I need to get that soil temperature up to 60. I catch a 70-degree sunny day or a week into February, 1st of March, and I got black plastic rows sitting there. What do you think's going to happen? It's going to heat that soil up. The quicker I heat the soil up, the quicker that little transplant's going to grow. The quicker the transplant grows, the quicker I'm to harvest. The quicker I'm to harvest, the less headaches I have, because I hit my harvest before I have heat and humidity. If only managing your landscape, were as easy as farming a field sometimes. If we could just plant a lawn, grow it for a short time, and then take it out. The problem is we're growing landscapes year-round, right? All right, let's go back to text lines here. Good morning, guys. My name is Anthony, and I'm a Yankee. I'm not used to Bermuda grass, and I don't know if I should keep it short. Please help. I have so many different things from different – I've heard so many different things from different people, but I figured I'd ask the Yard Pros. Hope you guys have a great day and a happy new year. Well, that's mighty big of Anthony. He admitted that he's not familiar. And we get this a lot, believe it or not, in the stores. People come in and, hey, I just moved here.
It's mind-blowing how many people have moved here.
Yeah, and it's just – I don't know what to do with my yard. And it's true, because
– what is this weed?
What is this weed? What is this plant? Well, excuse me, sir, that's not really a weed. That's your perennials
house. That is your turf.
Yeah. This is actually your grass, sir. That's what we desire here in the South. Really? Yeah. Hey, you'll love it. Trust me.
That's wire grass back home.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, many folks, if you live in the Northeast or the upper part of the Midwest, probably never seen Bermuda or experienced it other than television on a golf tournament. And they probably didn't know then what they were looking at, right? But Bermuda grass, you know, the Bermuda grass that is sodded, Scott, I mean, it's a great question from Anthony, but the Bermuda grass that's sodded, if that were a sodded lawn, Anthony needs to keep it 2 inches or below, right? Hybrid 419 Bermuda needs to be maintained. If it were sodded, it is almost 100% guaranteed assurance that it is some form of hybrid. Now, was it 419? Is it Celebration? Who knows what it is?
And if it's a common Bermuda, you want to maintain it at least 3 inches.
Exactly. So what's the reasoning behind that?
Because the nodes.
Man, you listen to this Yard Pro show or something, don't you?
That's my first week.
Well, you're doing good. You must have stayed in the Holiday Inn last night.
I did. Express.
So we're talking about that internode length, right? Mm-hmm. So the internode length on a hybrid Bermuda, which is that stolon that runs on top of the ground, if you pull one up and you got what people call a runner, okay, it's actually a stolon, not a runner, okay? If you pull the stolon up, you will look and you will see nodes. You will see a little bump every once in a while down the stem. They're pretty uniform, believe it or not, how frequently they occur along that stem of the stolon. Every one of those nodes produces leaf tissue, correct? Mm-hmm. From the top, it produces roots from the bottom, okay? So it's what we call internode length, the length between the nodes. 419 was bred in its desire because it has a short internode length. Therefore, we get more leaves per square inch. That means we need to maintain the grass at a little bit lower height. That means we can. Okay, we can maintain 419 to a half an inch or even lower if your grade's good enough. I wouldn't suggest everybody go out and mow the yard to a half an inch because you're probably going to scalp it. But if it's good enough, you can do that. Common Bermuda, that internode length, instead of being, what, a quarter to a half an inch, is probably going
to
be
half to one to three,
that maybe even 4 inch internode length. The longer the internode length, the less leaves per square inch. Therefore, you have to maintain it at a higher height to cut so that you can get more leaf tissue growing. It's all a ruse, man. It's all a ruse. It's how you – I mean, believe it or not, the appearance of your lawn a lot of times is how you maintain it mechanically. How do I mow it? How frequently? What direction? And what height? And, man, I can make anything look good from a distance, right?
Oh, yes.
So, Scott, we are at the bottom of the hour show. I think we have gotten through all of our text. Wrapping up 2018, it's been a wet one. It looks like we may have one person potentially on hold. We'll talk to you after the show. How about that? Because there's no way I can get through it in 40 seconds. Not me anyhow, right?
No.
Folks, it's been a great 2018. We're looking forward to 2019. You have been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, not only today, but all year. It's been a delight to talk with you. If you want to find us during the week, it's simple. At www.carolinafreshfarms.com. We hope you and your family had a very Merry Christmas. I know we did, Scott. How about you?
Yes.
And we really wish you the best in 2019. Have a Happy New Year, and come see us soon.